Hello, hello, wonderful people of this world, souls, beautiful spirits, those that walk on this path of realizing who we truly are in this maze that we call world, earth, reality. Hello, hello to all of you. How are you all? And I know none of you are going to be able to respond to me right now, so I'm going to ask the person that is sitting next to me, another soul, yet we are the same, and he's still kind of outside of me, I guess, based on my perception and what I've been raised to believe and conditioned to believe. So there's this embodiment right next to me that I would like to say hi to. Hello.
Hey there, Mom.
How are you?
I am great. How are you?
Just when somebody says they're great, you know, it's not like, I'm great, you know, like when you're great, you're freaking great, you know, you're like, I'm great, you know, so are you like, I'm great because that's the safest answer to give, or are you really great? I mean, what's really going on inside of you?
Relax, Mother, I'm good, I'm swell, life is great.
Okay, so you're just not very enthusiastic like I am when I,
right.
When I really try to come off with my expression of myself and my being. You know, I like to get really excited.
Oh, yeah?
Because
You've been talking like that all day, or are you the one that's trying to give us a false persona, Mom? Is that what's happening right now?
When I was over there making you your lunch or your dinner, I was not as excited as that. I will attest to that.
Sure.
But guess what? When the light's on and it says you're on live, then you're on. But I do know this awesome quote. About
Is you on or is your live on?
Light.
I know, is your live light on?
No, I think it's just it when you know you're on, you know, you gotta like step it up and be like more excited.
Yes, like different.
Well, I can't be talking to myself like that when I'm cooking by myself or if I'm with a client, I'm not gonna be like, hello, how are you?
Why not?
You
Why know? Can't you be great all the time then, Mother?
I am great all the time.
Oh, yeah?
But it's different tones of voice.
That persona.
Different tones of voice, all right? Don't argue with me. I don't even like you. We are going to be talking about a perfect subject today, which is culture, separation or unity. And in our culture, traditional Hispanic culture, I don't think it ever became okay for the son to question the mother in that way. You know, I'm going to tell you what my mom always told me as I was growing up, and I would try to talk back. I gave you life, I will take it from you. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, what the hell is she going to do? But of course, I was raised by the most loving mother in the world. But I was what you consider a scurvy elephant. Do you know what a scurvy elephant is?
Yes, I
do. So for you guys that don't know, Wayne Dyer, he's a big motivational speaker. He got home one day and told his parents that the teacher called him a scurvy elephant. And then the parents call the teacher, and she's like, what is a scurvy elephant, you know? And the teacher said, no, I told him he was a disturbing element, not a scurvy elephant. So ever since I read that, I just see myself as a scurvy elephant that gave my parents a lot of hell and a lot of worrying. As it is, they were very conservative and wanted to protect me from even the sun. And of course, I had to be born and completely just suppose everything that they said. But in all its honesty, I look back now and I'm like, wow, I've been so blessed to have like the best parents in the world, like somebody who's got your back, unconditional love. You know, they're not going to beat around the bush. And when you make a mistake and you like seriously fuck up royally, they're not going to be like, oh, poor my daughter. They're going to pretty much tell you how badly you fucked up, and then they're going to set you straight, and then you're going to get your shit together, because there's no tolerance for like mediocrity. And that's just because they've worked hard all their life. You know, they're immigrants from another country. Can you imagine coming from another country, not knowing the language, having to start your whole new life? And struggling so much as young people working so hard on the field, they don't take stuff for granted, you know, and I understand them now. Now as a parent, I understand them that it makes sense. You know, not only did they work hard for what they have, but God, they've accomplished so much in their lifetime that I'm so proud of them. And so I don't talk back to them like you do, you evil buffoon.
Stop. So I'm not talking back to you. I'm just...
Actually, you're really a good kid. I can't even complain. I wish I could talk shit about you and be like,
yeah,
you suck.
At at my your age right now, the same age as mine, you would have a kid right now. So.
And it was not easy. I know. And there you go talking back again.
No.
It is not easy. It was not easy. Let me tell you, for anybody who's listening and thinking that it was easy, it was not. It was the hardest thing in the world. You know, I went to, it was interesting because I had to go to Planned Parenthood because I do my own insurance. So whenever I have to go take care of women's stuff so that I don't have another one of you who sits here and start talking to me. And then I just went to Planned Parenthood just to check in and do that. And I think it was a good reason. I didn't go to my regular, like, doctor. And I think it was a good reason that I went there because there were people that were, like, screaming on the freaking sidewalks, don't go in there because, you know, at Planned Parenthood they actually perform abortions and stuff like that. You know, I'm a huge follower of God and, you know, God is in my life every single time, but nowhere would I get in my mind that I would judge someone for having an abortion. You know, it wasn't a choice for me because honestly I was young and I didn't really, and the way I was raised, honestly, that wasn't even a choice, you know, but I would never, and I've had people around me that have had gone through this and that I love dearly and that I supported them through it because in the end it was their decision and I never once would judge, you know. So as much as I felt the passion for the lady that was sitting on the sidewalk, you know, her thinking she's doing God's work, you know, I'm trying to save lives, I had a lot of compassion for the people inside there as well. And that actually, and like the doctors that had to go through that and how they had to probably disconnect from the whole thought of what it was, or I don't know how they did it. But at the same time, of the women that are in there making these decisions, and then society judges them, or
the culture.
Or culture judges them, or whatever, whoever, their friends. And I felt really a lot of compassion. So in the end, actually, what I went to go do, they couldn't do. So I had to leave. I waited for 2 hours, and I hated it. But thank God it was
just to witness that.
But I think I had to sit through it because I wanted to really feel. And I was very productive while I was there, so it didn't really matter. But in the end, it was a lesson of not judging people. I mean, you asked me a really deep question earlier today, and it was hard. I mean, what was the question that you asked me?
Which
about who would you rather be?
Oh, I asked you, who would you rather be, a judgmental human being or a drug addict?
Yeah, so he asked that, and I said, I would rather be a drug addict, you know, because I just think that judgmental people in this world, they poison themselves by making assumptions and throwing stones at another human being when that's like drinking the poison and thinking it's going to kill your enemy, you know. I think that judgment in this world is something that fears wars, that causes separation, and that really relates to what the state of the world is right now. So it's a hard question to answer. I mean, I wouldn't want to be a drug addict, I'll tell you that much, but I wouldn't want to sit around judging people because I think to me that's a bigger poison. I really do.
And where do these judges come from? Our culture, right? They implement what thinks what's wrong and what's good and not, and that's where the judgment comes from, isn't it? Culture.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Your conditioning and culture. So yeah, that's our subject.
Culture is conditioning. Right?
Culture is conditioning because to me, when I think about the word culture, I think about the word right away tradition. I don't think anything negative. I think you know, I love to. I have a big family as far as my parents go, but you know, my parents only had 4 children, which is a lot less than their parents who had like 8 and 10. But I think about our traditions, you know, what we do for Christmas, what we do for the holidays, for Easter. I think about how every Sunday, you know, I go to my mom's house for breakfast or your dad's house for breakfast. I think about unity and a family, and I think about the foods that we eat, and the music that we listen to. I think about all of that. But then there's something scary about that too, because I feel like some people like
prejudices, separation, boundaries.
Yeah, like people think my culture is better than yours, and that's why I'm better than you. Or instead of, or not being open-minded, you know, like now, thankfully, we're seeing a lot more people that are in, I would call them mixed marriages, I guess, African-American with white, interracial, yeah. mixed, I don't know what to call it, damn. Well, and believe me, I have interracial marriages in my family, which is awesome.
I'm in an interracial relationship.
He's kind of interracial, yeah, because I was born in Mexico and your dad was born here, so I guess you're interracial.
I meant me and my girlfriend, but all right.
Oh, you and your girlfriend. No, he wants to talk about the girlfriend. Okay. How did you get
another example?
Let me go back to this really quick. Let's talk about you then. How does it feel to be in an interracial relationship? When we think about culture, you tell us how the cultures are, you know, mixing and mingling. Go ahead.
Well, at this point, that time, in 2015, I don't think it really matters because it's the norm now. No one sees it as something wrong. We're not in, like, the 60s right now. Or, like, never mind. I'm not even going to say it because I don't remember. It's the last law. It was recently. It wasn't even that long ago where interracial marriages were banned and illegal. I feel like I'm just gonna be wrong. Possibly it was like sometime in like the early 2000s. That was like when it left. I might be wrong. Pretty sure that
they were banned.
Yeah, they were illegal, just like gay marriages. It's just a joke, right?
Yeah.
Like 20 years from now, or however long, gay marriage is gonna be a joke. I mean, being them illegal is gonna be a complete joke. We're gonna laugh at it like we're laughing at interracial relationships.
Yeah, and then you're going to get that one person who's going to decide to marry a goat and going to just screw everything up. Then I have to be really open-minded and okay, you know? And I guess it's okay. I have a...
Hey, man, if they're happy, I'm not going to judge.
It's none of my business,
yeah.
You know? I feel like people can reincarnate into goats. Maybe that's their old husband. Who knows? Crazy stuff happens.
Hey, never thought about that possibility.
It's the truth. There's a lot of stories that actually say that. We have Damien here and back of us. I think he wants to say something because he's just standing there staring at us. What do you think about interracial relationships and culture? Get over here.
I don't know.
You don't know anything? So you're just here listening?
I'm only 10.
And that's an excuse. You would never say something like that. So what do you think about people? Would you ever marry someone that is not American or that is not Hispanic? American Hispanic, would you ever marry... What do you think about love and culture and race? Go ahead. He's never quiet. This is the only time that he's quiet.
Oh, my. Don't be shy, Damien. You're just being shy for no reason.
He can't decide right now. He's going to think about it for a few minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead and think about the question we just asked you. By the way, in 24 hours, he's probably quiet only the 8 that he sleeps. So I'm not sure exactly what's going on over here.
He talked perfectly on the podcast before. I don't know why he's being a buffoon right now, but all right.
It doesn't matter. So
why am I being judgmental?
Yeah, sorry for being judgmental, Damien. We love you. You are amazing. Look at these two bullies right here just talking smack. Whatever.
Slanging on a 10-year-old.
We love you, little guy.
What is wrong with us?
So, okay, so the definition as defined is it's a group of people. Defined by everything from language, religion, cuisine, social habits, music, and art. So, you know, I think what it does, when I think about culture, it does unite the people that are within the culture. But where it turns into a problem is actually where, again, the other culture thinks that they're better or less, or they even, you know, people right now fight in wars in the name of God. People fight wars in the name of their traditions. I don't believe that's the way really God would want us to work. So sometimes there's a thin line, I believe, that culture and you believing, even in the Hispanic culture, I'll tell you that there's a division between Mexicans and even where exactly from Mexico you are, what state, you know? And there's a lot of pride. There's nothing wrong with pride as long as you don't feel that you're better than someone else. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Go.
No, go ahead. And then there's for example, different types of cultures, such as the American culture that I think it's like a melting pot, but it could mean a lot of different things. Like I remember with Ram Dass, he was talking about the psychedelic culture in the 60s, a group of people that started getting into these psychedelics. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's a race. It more than anything means a group of people that happen to share the same interests or values.
But do you also think I feel like there's a lot of conformity and like blending in, and you have to be like the others to another to just along with other people around you.
I agree with that, and I'm glad you brought that up because that's where culture can get really dangerous, and where I think that that's where you have to really come in and break cycles. For example, you know, we've never even had an African-American president until recently, right? The African-American community has never really seen that as a norm before. So, of course, it's in their mindset a lot more difficult to actually accomplish, you know, something of this magnitude versus an American born here who we've had all American presidents, then to them it's a possibility within their heart to actually do this, right? I'll give you another example. We had to go back to the city of Chinle, and this is why we're talking about this on this podcast, because we just look at what happened to us in the week and then we kind of come up with something that has to do with that. We went to this city called Chinle, Arizona. It's in northern Arizona. We had to go there because your dad got a ticket, a speeding ticket, so we had to show up at court. And so, believe me, driving there, the drive is amazing because it's all desert and red mountains, and it's incredible. But what's crazy is that on the freeways, on the sides, there's all of a sudden these sporadic little cities that are just kind of popping up everywhere. And when I say cities, I'm talking about 5 houses. Or
are
10
they,
houses.
Are they reservations? Or?
They're like reservations, kind of like that. So, but your dad said, you know, this place looks so, like, dead, you know, and I thought, well, you can't judge nature. Like, to me, this is beautiful. So, but he was out of alignment because he had to go deal with that stupid ticket. It was 5 hours away from here. So he regretted saying that later. But I understood what he meant. The energy was very different there. It almost felt stagnant, kind of just like, nothing was really happening here. And literally, in the little cities that we passed, it was only probably 20 houses at the max each. When I went inside the gas station to put gas, you know, I saw a lot of the Native Americans. They're all Native Americans pretty much that live there. And it just seemed different. Like, it was not anything. Like, when I think of a Native American, I think of shamans. I think of, like, people with these amazing traditions and values of that they love and adore the earth and nature, and that they work towards that. And these were modern Native Americans, where they were wearing the Sean Johns and the, you know, the baggy jeans. And, you know, one of the kids, he looked really young, he was buying tobacco, but it just seemed like there was no real ambitions there. Like, it was more like, I don't know how it works with the government. Maybe they just kind of, because they took their land and...
Exactly. Look what they've been through. The amount of genocide in them, are the Europeans just coming and smashing their land. So I guess if you look at it, like, we came and smashed their culture and, like, pretty much, like, destroyed it. So is this what happens when culture is gone? Is that the leftovers? Is that the aftermath?
That's how it felt. And I was very sad about it because I thought, wow, I bet you this young man, because the guy in front of me, he probably was between 18. He was with another guy between 18 and couldn't have been more than 21. You know, I thought, I wonder if his nana, his grandma, ever taught him all these cool things that she used to do around here before all of this shit started going down. Because I think what happened was, you know, the government came in and they said, here's some money and here's some houses, because all the houses look the same, by the way. You know, and we're taking your land. But now you get to live like this, you know? But, I mean, it sounds all cozy and nice for someone who doesn't want anything to do, but you're in the middle of the desert and you're living there and you basically have money to eat and wake up every single day. But to me it felt like, where are the ambitions? Are you not going to explore the world?
And stuck in a giant cycle.
Right. And so that's the thing that I was saying. When you don't break the cycles of cultures, the negative things, for example, you know, back in the days, very few Hispanics were going to college. Now they're the leading ones going to college in all universities.
They're
leading. I have a report here that I'm going to download for you. National Association of Hispanic Real Estate Professionals. Every hour a Hispanic turns 18, just so you know. Hispanics actually, because we're about the big family, we still think that way, you know. We've lost a lot of our values and traditions. That's where I get really concerned. Where culture, when you lose the awesomeness, you know, like my grandma, you know, when she became a widow in her 30s with like 8 kids, she still didn't go marry someone else because she was just like, you know, I have this honor for my husband. I'm not telling you that it's the right thing to do, but there was a lot of honor within a marriage. You know, there was no divorce. Look at the divorce rates now, even within Hispanics, within the world. So there was a lot of different, like, family values and traditions that were extremely important. Like, you couldn't miss dinner, you know, you couldn't you know, all of those things, which I think a lot of different cultures have. You know, I think African Americans could have that in theirs, but for Hispanics and especially for Mexicans, it's very, very instilled. Like, I'm at my age, at 34, you know, I am expected to call my mom every week, and I'm expected to visit her at least once a week. You know, I live right by her. I have no excuse. And in those things, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that, you know, what my parents see in the American culture is that they believe that, you know, kids turn 18 and then the kids just push them away and say, go figure out your life. Our parents would rather have us living with them. I don't think my parents are that old school, but most of them would rather have us living there with them so that, you know, we were close together in one house versus go and flap your wings. When my sister went away to college, my mom was worried sick and she couldn't sleep and she wouldn't support her because she was so worried because my sister went away in another town 2 hours away. And it was just because she was so worried. So it's a very different mentality where I want to capture the great things that all my parents have taught me about family traditions, about, you know, cooking for you guys and all that stuff. But at the same time, you know, I've got to learn to live in this world of, hey, my son is going to turn 18. He's going to go to a university. He's going to graduate and do something with his life. And, you know, although I'm going to miss him and it's going to hurt, I'm just happy that he's found something to do and with his life and not settle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. So if you're looking through like an individualistic point of view,
yeah,
you know, then I think culture would be kind of bad, and that just bends people into a certain category, and it's just culture engineering and programming into making you something that I guess you are, but what they make you to be, you know? And there's like different aspects of culture that could be good, and there's different aspects that could be bad. And there's like different culture. There's also like consumer culture, or like just like the things that you see on TV and magazines and just all that stuff. And like just bends you into one certain category that you have to stare at before you could get along with the rest of the people in that culture, instead of standing out and having your own point of view and your own perspectives.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem. When you try to put anyone in a particular box, you cannot put all races, or let's say all Hispanics, or all Mexicans, or all Puerto Ricans, or all Americans, or all Europeans, all the people from France, you cannot put them in one particular box. And only that, people are evolving, traditions are evolving, values are evolving. We can't stay stagnant. You know, the values that we did have way back when, they've got to evolve based on what's going on around you. So when you start to try to get people to conform based on, oh, this is what I believe, that's where parenting can really be tricky. Because, okay, this is how I was raised, so this is what I believe to be right. Now I want you to do it. And if you don't do it, there's something wrong with you. And as a parent, we really can't do that because, you know, we grew up in very different environments where not only are you're trying to make it the outside world fit around you, but you're also trying to discover who you are and how to set up your own traditions and values and what's important to you. I mean, the hardest thing as a parent is trying to let go of that control and say, you know, this is what I've been taught, but this is your life and you do it. But it's scary to think that, like the Native Americans over there in Chinle, that perhaps have been losing all of their amazing traditions and roots. I mean, could that possibly happen to all of humanity? And could we end up being just a bunch of morons that walk around and have no inside value, no value of our inner self? Like, that's kind of scary to me, too.
It's tough. I feel like we have to find, like, moderation between both. Because then how are we going to constantly reinvent the wheel? And, like, how culture is how we learn. But then, like, I don't know if it's good or bad.
I think that where it could get really dangerous is where you have to identify based on that culture. I mean, all of us in this world, as we grow up and we evolve and everything, we try to find something to relate to. Why? Because we were not told when we were born that, by the way, you're not disconnected from God, you know? By the way, this is what A Course in Miracles teaches me, that you're an alien in this world because you don't understand about gravity, body, and all that. You're an endless and eternal soul that is always connected to source, to the universe, to God, to that magic behind that, that makes things, that makes the plants grow without you asking them to grow, that makes the birds fly, that that makes the fish swim in the sea, whatever, right? So you're not, if you were told that since you were little, I think culture would not really play a benefit and play into this, because then you would understand that, you know, you and I are the same. If we exactly. were united, you know, there is no boundaries. There's no, just because you like pizza and I like, you know, I like whatever, chow mein, I don't know what you want to call it. I do like chow mein, by the way. It's really good. Then that doesn't mean that all of a sudden we're different. It does, is it helps people identify with others, but that's because no, you don't realize who the hell you really are, and that you're always connected to source, that you really are God, that you're walking, you are a walking God, that when you say that word, you're literally not only tapping into yourself and your power, but that power of this entire universe.
Yeah, I agree that as long as we as if you were in a culture, but as long as you still see that we're all connected, that we're all the same, if you were in that person's shoes with that circumstances growing up and stuff, you would become that same, you're him, you're or her, you're that exact same person. It just, would just, we're the same, we're all the same. I think we're all the same. We're all the same human beings.
We are all the same, but all of us are exposed to different things as we evolve in this world as an incarnation, right? So my thing is celebrate it. Celebrate the fact that I love to eat jalapenos with everything. Or not jalapenos, but hot sauce. It has to be spicy. My food has to be spicy. Celebrate that, you know, I love to celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, and we open presents at midnight. Celebrate that, you know, whatever it is, but don't get attached to it, because then when you become attached to oh, I have to be this because my parents told me to be this, or I have to be this because my culture's what I agree with, you know, this is the perfect mold of what they say, and that's in your perception of it, because who knows what the perfect mold really is. That's when it gets really dangerous, because you can lose yourself, and then you also don't allow for any room for growth. You have nothing to evolve to. You know, we are endless potential. I started getting back into Lynn McTaggart, The Field. She's somebody who, she's a journalist, but she's somebody who actually went and talked to lots and lots and lots of scientists that all studied quantum physics, you know, and she said that it was the most, in the book she wrote, is insane. But the thing that was the hardest for her was that scientists spoke to her in math equations. When you speak to a physicist, they're not talking to you like I'm talking to you right now. They're giving you a math equation, and that's what they mean. So for her to even understand quantum physics was like the most difficult thing to grasp. So then what she would do is she would create some metaphors and then say, hey, is this what you're trying to say? Is this what you're trying to say? In the end, what they found out was that there is a field out there that really challenges the way science and has been teaching us to see this world, that the world outside of us doesn't really exist, and that what really exists is what's going on in here, and that's how the outside is created, and that there's this field of endless possibilities where things are happening not only now but also in the past, where you can actually, she was saying that,
And the future,
absolutely, but she was saying that how you could pray for something in the past and still change the effects of the future, so it's an endless universe that never ever ends. Everything is happening at once, and you can access all of these different, so what they're trying to come up with now is a way for us to visit all of these different dimensions.
I don't know about accessing it, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, well, NASA,
NASA,
yeah. I was going to say NASDAQ. NASDAQ is completely different. They're already looking at these things and how to access this. I mean, people, Einstein always talked about this field. Newton Howard. Was he right now? Isaac Newton. Howard?
No, just Newton.
I don't know where I got Newton Howard. I think that was one of the cartoons.
Eisenhower?
Yeah, probably. Isaac Newton. That's what she was saying, that Lynn McTaggart was saying, that we're so raised on Isaac Newton theory. And that what if, so her whole mission was to say, what if everything that we've been told is completely opposite of what the truth is? So she started challenging all of this. Now, I'll tell you this, this particular woman with this particular information, I don't think would be really, I don't think the Latin America community knows about it as much as perhaps the American community or where she's from, also from London, where she lives. You know, I wouldn't, if I wouldn't have stretched outside of my comfort zone of identifying myself as a Hispanic woman in America, you know, perhaps I would have never even touched this subject. So when you try to fit a mold and you try to find yourself in a, when you try to fit yourself in a box that fits perfectly to the conformity of what those are around you, when you're making others happy, then you have no room for growth. You have no room to explore. You know, now in my 30s, and I feel like I just started scratching the surface of what I could even explore. And I'm not basing my seeking or what I want to know off my culture. Believe me, I'm not. I'm looking at every culture because I appreciate them. And I'm learning so much from each and every one of them. And that's where you can celebrate it. And I don't care if I'm Hispanic, but if I want to go to a Hindu traditional ceremony, then that's what I'll do. And I don't feel like it should be that you stay on your side and I stay on my side. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know exactly. I feel like I know what you mean. Like, you get labeled and you have to stick in that category. That's a big thing in our society, like, as in, like, in politics, Republican, Democrat, just everything. You have to stick into this little cube and you have to stay in it. If the other person doesn't have the same beliefs with you, you know, you can't be a part of that at all. You can't have any of multiple perspectives. It just has to be that same little thing. Stick to your label, and that's it. If we take that more open-minded, like, mindset to mainstream society, then I feel like we'd be more,
we'd really be united. There would be no boundaries, and then we'd be, right now what it is an ego of I'm better than you, even if you're within your culture. Even, I'll give you an example, within the Hispanic culture, you know, there used to be, I remember, you know, whoever had the most cars, whoever had the biggest house, you were better. You were just better, and within that culture, so you almost ranked within your culture, like, or within your family and your surroundings. Believe me, there's a lot to celebrate in culture. There's a lot of awesomeness. You know, there's so much. But when it starts to become either a competition or I'm better than you or there's an ego, even feeling less than someone else. Yes, African Americans went through a lot, the slavery, everything they've been through. But that's a past. That's a story in the past. That's not a story that you have to repeat in your now anymore. And people can say easier said than done, but that's a bunch of bullshit, you know? Cesar Chavez, you know, he was the worker who really made changes for freaking all the migrant workers in this world. You remember watching that movie, right? It made you cry. It made me cry because my mom was part of that. He has an awesome quote that I freaking love. Preservation of one's own culture does not require contempt or disrespect for other cultures. See, this is a leader.
Yeah.
This is somebody who actually gets it. This is somebody who understands that, my God, I was born as this person in this body and in this culture, and I love it. And believe me, I love my culture. I am probably one of the proudest person of their culture. But I explore others and I accept others.
Exactly. I'm sure Martin Luther King and Malcolm X said the exact same things or similar, because they always knew that peace and not being better than other people are all equal. That's the bottom line. That's where it's at.
And then what about the beauty, especially now, of when you're able to marry an African American? Let's say you marry, or an Indian, or you marry someone from a Native American. You marry a Chinese. Can you imagine the mesh of those two cultures? I know this guy who's half. I don't know if he's Chinese or Filipino, but he's half Mexican too and speaks perfect Spanish, you know? I think to me that's awesome, you know?
I remember the wedding or the party at my grandma's house with Lizzie and Terrence.
Oh, yeah.
I love seeing those merges culture, my African American, her, my aunt's husband and her and my culture, the Hispanic culture. It was merging together and they're all laughing, talking to each other. And they look like, it was bottom line, they're humans just talking to each other. No differences, no of culture or anything like that. They're just humans conversing. It was awesome. I love seeing the merger of cultures.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, my parents are very traditional, very, very traditional. And their whole house was filled with a lot of people. I think there was probably like 120 people there. And it was just a mixture of just the two cultures. I mean, my aunts and uncles and, you know, grandma, they don't speak English, but they were there with their family who only spoke English, with his family, African American, and there was no boundaries. It was just like, we're all a family here, and they loved the way my mom cooked, and, you know, they were so generous and kind. And to me, that's the beauty of being a human. It's not about, and when you say culture, I mean, a lot of people don't think race, but it is. Sometimes it really does do that. Sometimes you're like, well, this is who I am, and this is the box that I'm staying in. This is what I'm supposed to do. And you out there, I can't relate to you, so there's something wrong with you, you know? Thank God. I think that humanity has evolved a lot more, and I think that we're seeing a lot more of those boundaries, you know, being demolished. I mean, what do you think? Do you think it's getting worse or better?
I believe I agree. It's getting, Stephanie, we're making progress, and it'll continue.
What do you see in school?
What do you mean?
Like in school, do you see that division, or do you see that it's actually a thing?
I don't know, because I do see, like, the African-American people just hanging with them and the Hispanics hanging with themselves and Caucasian. Like, I sometimes see, like, a mixture, but you could tell there's those I don't know if it... You could say it's segregated. I mean...
But who does that?
In my group of friends, there's Mexicans, there's white people, there's... Black, there's all combined, but there are also, you do see those, the Mexicans hang out with the Mexicans and the white people hang out with the white people. And you see that in jails too. They all, I don't know why, just the race combines them together and feel like.
Well, I think I know why. I think it has to do with the fact, again, the way we were raised. And, man, we're getting a lot of calls and text messages. What I think it is that, again, you're born into this world. You don't know that you're alone. You think you're alone because you don't understand that you're connected to God or source. Why the hell are you still breathing? How did you wake up every morning? What is the magic and divinity behind that, everything that is happening? And then what happens is that we are taught how to see and perceive through where? Right here, our eyes. We are not taught to learn to perceive with our heart. And we are not taught that we are all together in one. And Langmuir Taggart, that's why I brought her up, through quantum physics, they've actually freaking verified and showed how we are all united as one through quantum physics. I mean, it's not like new age, you know, woohoo thing or whatever. What do you call that thing? Not woohoo.
No, I think
it's not woohoo.
You woohoo?
I don't know the way you said it.
So I know what you're talking about. Forget.
So it's not that. It's not that. It really does exist. And that the bottom line is we are together as one, and that if we were raised that, why do you think little kids don't see color? You know, babies don't see color. Babies don't see that they're different from anyone. They're just like these chubby. They're chubby, and they don't care. They don't want to go lose weight. They're happy. They're bubbly. Why? Because the ego hasn't set in. You have not been conditioned. And until you've been conditioned, until you go to your first day of kindergarten or even the first day of daycare, or your mom says something about something on TV about that Mexican lady or about that Hispanic or about that African-American person or about, the culture over there. I told you when I was starting to get into Hinduism and stuff like that, I had people tell me like, now you believe in elephants and stuff like that. And I'm like... What the hell does that mean? You know, is something wrong with me then? But you really got to stand strong in the fact that all of us came to this world in an amazing experience of going through the birth canal of somebody's, you know, legs. What do you call it? You know, we all went through the birth canal. Where I don't want to say the bad word. This is a PG thing.
Stop.
So,
it's not a PG.
It's not at all.
Vagina.
Oh, he said, I can't believe you said that. You are... Culture is not for you. So all of us came out of a vagina. So since we all came out of a vagina, we went through this miraculous thing, and now we're going to come into this world and suffer? Like, that's a bunch of bullshit, you know? Why not just be like, I'm going to love everyone? Because, you know, I came in through this miraculous, I don't care how it happened. It was an accident. It wasn't. It was planned. You, it happened. God put you here. God put you right here. Universe, source, whatever. Don't get caught up. That's what we do. We get caught up with words. And we don't understand that there's much more beyond the word. We start looking at others and we start looking at our reality and words through our eyes. We never connect with our heart. We don't connect with our third eye, which is the eye of wisdom. We don't ever say, God, why? Instead of judging that other person, we don't ever say, God, take these feelings of me judging this person, of envy, of jealousy, of anger. Take them away from me because they don't belong. It's an illusion. Instead of that, we blame. We point fingers. We talk shit to. And then we become fake-ass people. We don't love who we are. We don't act like we are. We hide ourselves. What kind of fucking life is that? And then guess what? You go and you live it and then you die. Like, it doesn't even make sense. I mean, is that the way you want to live?
It's definitely not the way I want to live, no.
So that's where it can get really scary. That's where it can get, I think people should love and accept themselves as who they are and how they were raised and the things they were taught or were not taught. And I think they should celebrate themselves. Celebrate themselves. And culture is something that comes with whatever you actually evolve to and whatever you can actually relate to. But don't ever, ever, ever forget that you're not alone here. You're not disconnected from source. So there's nothing that you need identification with. Already you are whole, complete, and beautiful. That's what I think.
Yeah, and we had the same perception when we were just a baby, when we just came out here, because we didn't have any attachments. So just, like, live your life as a baby, like a baby throughout all life without any attachments. And you should do fine, I think.
Yeah, and telling someone like me that is hard because I could tell you that.
Oh, definitely, it's not easy. It's not gonna be.
I'm the biggest control freak in this world.
I think control is illusion.
What do you mean? Well, it doesn't happen. That's for sure. You don't have control.
Yeah, I just think it's an illusion.
Right. So you're fighting against something that doesn't even exist.
Exactly.
You know, so many times I try to control you. So many times I try to control your dad, your brother. So many times I try to control my outer, but there's your external world, but there was always deeper happening inside me that always led me the way. And at that time, I couldn't see it, and I would cry and be pissed off and everything. And then I would look back, and I'd be like, wow. There's just been a lot of miracles this week for me. Driving back from there.
I feel like you say that every podcast.
Well, is it my fault that God gives me all these freaking miracles? I'm just like, oh, my God. It's reading that book, A Course in Miracles. I'm not kidding you. I'm a lot more aware, and I'm seeing, you know, driving back from Shinley, we were driving back, and I'm going to tell this story real quick because we're almost done. Driving back from Shinley, your dad and I were talking, and we're talking about faith and what faith really is and God and universe and source and how, you know, you've got to let the past in the past. We're doing a lot of the Deepak Chopra meditations. We're doing the Deepak Chopra meditations. On their way back, I wasn't because I was driving at the time. Cause you have to close your eyes for meditation, and then all of a sudden we saw this store on the side of the freeway that said Geronimo on it, and we're like, oh, that's a cool store. And at the same time, on the radio, the song Geronimo turns on, and we're just like, we were at that point saying, you know, I wish God would give us signs so that we could see that He was true. I was telling Alex or that she was true. I was saying, you know, I wish. And then that happened, dude. I'm not kidding you. We freaked out. We started screaming and laughing. So anytime we try, the ego comes back and we get in a bad mood or something, we always say Geronimo, because those things you cannot explain. You know, there is a divinity and a magic that you cannot explain. And don't try to. Let go of control. Let go of trying to fit yourself in a mold or in a box and just, like, go into silence and be. That's the way you're going to discover who you truly are, I think.
Silence. Embrace yourself.
Yeah. Embrace and accept yourself. Anything, especially challenges. If you're having a challenge, accept the challenge. You will see the miracles. You will see how it flows into the biggest lesson that you needed in your life. So culture, celebrate it. Embrace who you are, absolutely. But don't ever, ever let it set you apart from someone else.
I agree.
You agree?
I agree.
Well, thank you so much. We will be back next Thursday. We're going to go enjoy some time because my sister's in town. Oh, yeah. And I'm really, really happy. And I want to say thank you, God. Geronimo.
Geronimo. Peace out.
Peace out.